What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Concrete jungle, wet green tornado.
Well, rain comes down from heaven. It goes drip, drip, drip. The windmills are driving the whales crazy.
Put your big boy pants on. Roth is here.
We'll execute the baby.
Right in the butt.
They're eating the dog.
They're eating the cat.
They're eating the pets.
Make America great, bitch.
Mr. Unlimited.
Ball. Nice heavy long and break.
That sounds about right.
Again, hey, our LA picks looking pretty good. We're up 1-0.
For TGL?
Yeah. Well, yeah. What do you think it is? It's Tuesday.
I don't know. Maybe you're talking about Tuesday. I think the Kings are playing. There's a lot of hockey tonight.
Kings.
Our Blazers are playing.
What is a pacer? Do you know the answer to that?
I think that's the pace car, is it not?
I was thinking Indy 500 pace car, yeah.
That would be
that's
my
what
guess.
I've always thought.
Is that not why the...
What?
I mean, is that actually what a pacer is, or are we just all guessing?
I don't know,
that
just
right?
I assumed you knew.
I think that's pretty obvious, isn't it? I don't know, but I mean, it's got to be what it is.
I would imagine.
Indy 500.
Yeah, right? Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Adam Scott just put it in the water. Boom.
Yes.
Nice aim point.
The pacer's nickname does come from the state's history with...
douche.
The racing on the Indianapolis, the harness racing and the Indianapolis 500 pace car. Mm-hmm.
Didn't even have to look it up.
Well, I did.
I was confident.
Just I wanted to, I wanted to make sure.
Yeah,
how many times
referee?
Have we been sure about something and then it turns out we're completely wrong?
I felt
wrong.
Good about that, though.
Oh.
Well, we got a break. I was reading that they've done a study on the U.S. economy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I'm familiar. I participate.
How are the price of eggs?
Don't get me started.
Why? What do you mean?
Stop it.
Start.
Stop it. Things are going great.
Are egg prices lower or higher?
I'm very excited. I think everything is everything's just going great. You know,
are you one of those damn libs?
We're getting great. We're getting great again. I feel greater by the day. It's just easing every day. I wake up and I'm like, man,
make America great, bitch.
Things are great.
Well, they did a study of wealth, or of the economy and the U.S. Because people always talk about, oh, the economy. Blah. It's the economy has never been better.
Okay.
Taylor Swift, blah,
blah. And we're doing great. Mm-hmm. We're lapping the field as far as the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, Jace, and this is the tease for
this
next segment.
This is the tease.
And
this
yet,
this is the tip.
We are this.
Oh, I got a good idea about this.
What would you say?
It's going to be something, even though that we're doing better than everyone else.
We're wealthy.
Yeah, but we're also... I'm going to say we're either poor or we're unhappy and we're pissed off or we think that we're doing crappy. Be somewhere in
there. We're wealthy, but we're poor?
Well,
we're disenfranchised.
We make more, but we spend more. We're in debt, or we all, like, even though we're doing better than everyone else, we think that we're a pile of crap.
Okay.
And maybe comparatively think we're doing worse than others when we're doing just fine.
Yes.
Yeah. I do think there's a little bit of that. I'll tell you, it's one word, and you have already said it.
Oh, there you go.
We will get to that next on The Fan. Well, the headline read, wealthy and...
unhappy?
Unhappy.
There you go. We were just talking about this the other, like, a break or two ago. The, just people that, like, interact with the show, just in general, the people that you see out at stores, you see all the stuff happening on the airlines, people just are on edge. People are just
all angry trolls now.
Yeah. A lot of anger.
It's very sad.
Just venom being spewed.
Like many other Americans, Douglas Harris, an economist at Tulane University, has found himself worrying about the quality of public discourse.
Yeah.
He says it is full of misinformation, cynicism, and polarization. Americans seem irrationally angry about the country's condition and can't even seem to agree on basic facts.
That is
true. Isn't that tough?
It is bizarre to me that general facts, stuff that really isn't disputed, is now... disputing. And we've reached the point where you can say something, we have you on tape and film saying it, and then you can just be like, I didn't say it.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, no.
Fake news.
It's unbelievable.
So Harris, back in 2021, recruited a politically diverse committee of experts to study the true state of the nation. He persuaded 13 other scholars who together have advised each of the past five presidents, stretching back to Bill Clinton, to do so. They released their national report card just yesterday.
Okay. How we do?
Why did I say it that way?
I don't
yesterday.
Know.
Yesterday.
Rocking you on a Friday.
We are rocking you on a Friday. Or in this case, a Tuesday.
It finds that the U.S. economy is performing better than any of its peers and pulling away from the economies of Europe and Japan. The U.S. remains far richer per person than China or India. The report also finds that the U.S. fares less well in almost every other realm, including health, happiness, and social trust.
Yeah. China!
He said, we're so wealthy, but so unhappy. In the end, the experts decided that 37 measures were important enough to list, including those covering economic output, employment, income inequality, life expectancy, environmental conditions, depression, community involvement, press freedom, and voter turnout. For a measure to make the list, roughly 75% of the experts had to agree on its inclusion. Okay, so they're very thoughtful about
this. By the way, we came in at 23rd on the 2024 happiest countries in the world.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Is it?
23rd?
23rd?
Well, I mean, aren't there like 300-some countries?
I think for our resources, we should be happier.
It's pretty pathetic that we're the
wealthiest. We should be number one.
We are the wealthiest country in the world.
You think North Korea is number one?
I think they think they're number one.
It's not. And believe me, if you've ever been over to any of the Scandinavian countries, they will not shut the hell up about that they are the happiest.
Yeah.
And by the way, they are the top four or all Scandinavian countries.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's to be expected.
Yes.
They're smaller. They have good governments.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have just a disposition that we don't have.
Well, and there's a basic level of security that comes along with that. And yes, it's just happier. So I would... The idea that the United States being this beacon, the house on the hill, right, where everyone wants to come here and we have more opportunities than anyone else, all that stuff is true and superpower. But the fact that we're 23rd I do think it's alarming. In fact, like when you look at a lot of our stuff, with we have the most expensive healthcare in the world, and it's not even close. And yet, we're not top 10 in anything. Infant mortality rate, life expectancy, all that stuff. We're like in the 30s and 40s and all those things.
So the group also commissioned a poll and found that a large majority of Americans agreed about the importance of most of the topics. The main exceptions were community involvement and environmental conditions, which only a slight majority of people thought were crucial gauges of our national well-being.
Yeah.
Community involvement, that should be way high, shouldn't it? Yeah,
well, it's like almost every study will tell you, like the blue zone thing, that having a sense of community and belonging is really important. But we are, we got a little John Wayne in our blood. We get a little Johnny Cash. We don't need no one. Screw you.
We sure do.
Yeah, we
now watch your stride.
Now watch your stride. Well.
Well, I mean, I've said this. If you travel around the world, like we don't even do poor in this country. We don't have poor people. We really don't. We have poor for the United States, but you don't know what poor is. Go to Brazil and look at like the favelas. Go to some of the go to Indonesia sometime. Go to India and you'll find out what poor is. Like when you're poor here, we still have people that will bring you food. You can still walk into a hospital as a poor person and get treatment. You can dial 911 if you fall. Like, we have resources. There are other places where that does not exist. And I just, like I said, we just don't, I just don't think we have a true appreciation for where even, not only what our ceiling is, but what our floor is. And I'm saying not everyone is, you know, as Jerry says, sunshine and glory holes. But we have a pretty kick-ass country.
Smiles and glory holes.
Smiles.
But I just think the thing that we do most as Americans is complain. I think we're
very
at
spoiled.
Yes.
This text, we have a text.
Ooh, love the text
on the Vancouver Ford text line. Envy is a real thing. It's not that we in America have it so bad, but often that our neighbor has it a little better than us. Even those in poverty in America are in the top 3% of wealth worldwide. A rising tide lifts all ships, but so many people aren't happy with the fact that they got lifted up, unless they got lifted higher than their neighbor.
Yeah, and that's kind of my point, is like our poor aren't poor compared to the rest of the world. By the way, the happiest countries, 2024, Finland, Denmark, Iceland, Sweden, Israel, I think is interesting.
Okay.
Netherlands, Norway, Luxembourg, Switzerland. See a pattern here. Australia, New Zealand, Costa Rica, the Kuwaitis, Austria, Canada, Belgium, Ireland.
Here's one thing I would defend America about. Well, many things, but one of the things that I've always kind of thought is, can you have, if you are marrying like this, of course, this is a lot more factors than just wealth and happiness.
Sure.
But they boil it down to that.
Yeah.
If you're comparing those two things or marrying those two things, is it possible that is impossible, you know? And is it, that's the first question. And the second question is can you have a country, because all those countries that you listed, they're all much smaller than the U.S.
Yes.
So if you take the largest countries in the world, how are we doing? Because I think there's two different, well, I think it would be very hard to be so happy, and I'm using finger quotes, when you have 365 million people.
Well, and you know I've heard this. I've heard this argument time and time again. Like when you look at Sweden, that I think has like, it's something ridiculous. It's like 12 million people.
Right. And it's way easier.
And Denmark was that way. I lived there for 3 months, and it's everything is easier to take care of everyone because you have a smaller quantity of people.
And you're all on the same page. Like I had a buddy from New Zealand who talks about how, dude, when the president over there, or whatever they call her, I forget her name,
Prime Minister,
when she speaks, people listen.
Yeah.
And it's just it. It's like, well, there's
the other,
trust.
And the other one that I hear is like the 12 million people that are in Sweden. 11.5 of those million are Swedish.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas the United States truly is a melting pot where you have so many different people coming in that, yes, it is way harder to piece that and stitch it all together. The reality of it is we're probably more like 7 or 8 different countries all kind of coexisting and at once. But it does say something that if you take Scandinavia as a whole, you have a pretty big swath of people that are independent countries, and yet they still all are pretty happy.
Yeah.
You know.
No, that's right. But they're all smaller.
They're all smaller.
You know.
So, you know, I just think sometimes we crap on I think it's become easy to crap on the United States for all the things that we do poorly. And some of that's our own fault, and certainly things can be done better. I just, the level of discourse that we've reached, I just don't know where we start to point it in the right direction. My favorite quote is the Bill Clinton, nothing is wrong with America that, nothing is wrong with America that can't be fixed by what's right with America. But I'm starting to think more and more.
Is that fading a little bit?
That's starting to fade a scooch or two, but. You know, we'll see.
Well, when you have 350 million people, it's just complicated.
It's hard.
I just think it's complicated.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, yes. Look at India. Look at China.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you even, if you go to India and China, and I guess to some extent the U.S., like, how do you even group that as one country?
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's
India
like,
has a billion people.
Exactly. It's with, it's countries within, I don't know.
Yeah.
That. In other words, this list is bullshit. I'm happy as a clam.
I just wish in
I don't have anything.
I just wish in general, even when things were rough, that we could sometimes choose to see the positive and not always the negative. And not always it's I feel like we've gotten to this doom and gloom that no matter what, if you don't agree with me or my side isn't in, everything is going to hell and there's no way that it can be good. And we actually root for the other side to fail. And it gets, you know, it gets convoluted, man. It gets kind of, I don't know, it's we become tribes.
Well, everything gets politicized,
yeah.
And then people fall for it.
Yep.
And before you know it, we're in little echo chamber. I mean, yeah. It's been a long.
Yeah, it's been a long, slow ride, but I feel like we're at the bottom of the hill and it's kind of a daunting task to get back up.
The hard part is just wish people could see it better, you know,
yeah.
Like. Don't let yourself into that.
No, I just see it like when we do something, like I'm always jealous, like when something happens, like when the Olympics come around, right? And when Canada wins something or Mexico wins something or any of the other countries, that it's such a rallying cry. And we can't even do that, right? When the U.S. soccer team wins something, it's like, man, I hate all those lesbos on that team and they piss me off. They don't represent my country.
Yeah,
you know, or you know, the other way around. If someone who's the Harrison Bucker of the world, or whatever, or you know, someone says, you know, I voted for Trump, therefore, F him. He doesn't represent my country. And it's just very few things anymore. Actually, and maybe this is to your point. It's hard to bring 350 million people together. But when's the last time, outside of like a massive tragedy, like a 9/11 situation, where you had the country all kind of grab together and be like, we've got some national pride.
And I honestly think if something of that magnitude happened again today, totally different reaction.
Yeah,
we are not all coming together like we did.
Because
in 2001.
If 9/11 happens, depending on who's in the office, the other side is like, you're the reason why it happened. It's not like, hey, someone attacked us. It's like, you sons of bitches were in charge and you let it happen. Whereas it wasn't that long ago that was like, hey, we're rallying around each other.
You'd all just say this thing really sucked and we need each other right now, but we don't.
Yeah.
I need you, Buck.
Thanks, buddy.
These people are crazy. There's something wrong with them.
I need my TGL.
Maybe that's what can bring us together.
By the way, we're up 3-0.
LA's on fire. Told
Maybe
you
the
play
TGL
it.
Is what unites us as people.
You're going to be 4-1 before you know it, Rob.
Indoor golf.
4-1, nah.
Tiger's mom's tribute that they just put up there.
Mm.
Titan of the sport.
She was a titan of the sport.
She was.
They're little moo-moos. All right. Well, we're wealthy, but we're also unhappy. How do we fix that? I don't know.
TGL.
Alcohol?
We just did.
Yeah.
Speaking of alcohol, I've got several stories here on alcohol. Is the bourbon boom over?
Oh, I hope not.
And we want to drink less, but not completely.
Speak for yourself.
Those items coming up. Here's Buck.
I don't want your life.
Well, now to the drink.
Let's get to it. We just talked about being unhappy, so might as well.
Well, I tell you, me and the drink, we have had quite a run. We've had our ups and we've had our downs.
Understand, yeah.
But I feel like I'm in a pretty good place with the drink right now.
Feel solid about it?
Yeah. I don't drink nearly as much as I used to, but I do. I do enjoy a good cocktail.
Yep.
I like wine.
I like bars. Like, I'm a bar guy.
So you're like more the community element of it.
Yes. Now, don't get me wrong. I like being at home. And, you know, if I'm going to tie one on, there's a good chance I'm sit home. Like, if I'm by myself, I'll sit there, you know, light a fire, get a cigar going, and get into a bottle of something nice. But I am a sucker for the Friday night. You don't have anything going on. Go sit down at a great neighborhood bar, maybe some place that has music or whatever. Sit down, and it's like, that community, I very much enjoy that. I like that sense of community where the beer becomes more than a beer.
I'm probably a little tainted on that because I bartended for so long.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because,
and look, not every bar is like that. I mean, yeah, there's some places that are slaughterhouses.
I tell you, they kind of, not every bar is like that, but you go into one bar long enough.
Yeah.
It's all the same bit. I mean, and it's sad in some ways. I don't know. You know, you see the worst of it.
Sure.
But with dry January over.
Thank God.
I know. What a dumb bit that is.
Which I didn't participate
well,
in.
Well, hey,
but
my kids just came back from skiing. They were up Mount Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying they were going to try to do dry February because it's a shorter month.
Oh, that makes sense.
I was like, wow, that's brilliant.
28 versus 31.
And yet also dumb.
Yeah. I've actually done that before. I think it was 2 years ago that I did. No, it was last year that I did dry February.
Did you?
Because there's so much awesome football in January, and I didn't want to really miss that. And then my birthday's on the 3rd. I'm like, you know what? We'll wait till the birthday is passed, and then we'll go dry.
Okay. Well,
we only have to be like 3 weeks that way.
A new scientific report released in January found that having one drink a day was linked to an increased risk of liver cirrhosis,
uh-oh,
esophageal cancer, and oral cancer.
One?
Yes. Mm. And it freaked everyone out.
Yeah.
So what percentage of Americans are saying that they plan to drink less alcohol in 2025?
I'm guessing a lot. Well, and this is planned. Planning and doing two totally different things.
That's fair.
I'll say like 40% of Americans are saying they're going to drink less.
And I bet the same people plan to every year.
Yeah.
And then they just don't.
It's the same thing I plan. Yeah, people plan to lose weight. People plan, you know.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
It's easier said than done for sure.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it is, it's just habitual.
Sure.
You know, you just do it out of habit.
Yeah.
And that's a hard cycle to break. But 50% of Americans believe that they will drink less, or they plan to drink less in 2025. Now, what percentage of Gen Zers saying they plan to drink less?
I'll bet you that's way more. Because the Gen Zers aren't drinking. And the Gen Zers are into the weed, and they're drinking less and less. I'll bet you it's like 65, 70%
exactly
of Gen Zers.
Exactly 65%?
Yeah.
Say they plan to drink less alcohol in 2025.
Losers. Bunch of quitters.
And it makes me sad.
If you're the bar business, are you sweating bullets here a little bit that the next generation doesn't like to tie one on?
I know some purveyors of the hooch,
yeah.
And yes, it is a look. It's just like any other market;
mm-hmm.
It's ever changing, and
sure,
you have to adapt.
Yeah,
certainly, COVID, you know, changed a lot. COVID really helped booze.
Yes,
you know,
yeah,
but in a different way, because if you were a bar, mm-hmm, that, you know, bar guys can be like, wait a minute, COVID didn't help me.
Yeah,
but you know. You know what I mean? Like, people were drinking a lot, mm-hmm, holed up in their houses, fearing for their lives.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
I know I was.
I will say that a lot of times when I'm out, and I'm a bar, I'm more of a bar guy than you are. And I will say, now there's a difference between young people bars and bars that I'm going to. Like, I'm not going to, like, hip clubs and like trendy bars.
Why not?
Oh God, that's a whole other. You ever walk into a bar and instantly be like, "What the hell am I doing here?" You're like, "Like they just look at you, you look at them, and like this,
not my vibe, not my place."
No. Yeah. Anytime, like if Will Ortner is at that bar, you can probably just turn around and be like, "Yeah, this is not for me. We should probably go find our fun elsewhere." But I will say a lot of the bars that I go into, it is not really a young crowd. Like, I'll go out on a Friday, Saturday night, and it's certainly, I see way less young people than you would think. And I'm just saying in 20s in general. It definitely skews older.
Yeah, it's changing.
Yeah.
It's shifting. There's no question.
Yeah.
You know, what that will look like in 50 years, who knows?
Yeah, maybe the next generation turns out to be a bunch of giant raging alcoholics. I don't know.
That's right. Or they're sitting down talking to their grandkids about us old pickle fingers.
Yeah.
Back in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Drank all the time. Like a bunch of Lushes.
Was that if the next generation could stop drinking, then nice bourbon and whiskey, the prices would come down, and I'm okay with that.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, they'd probably just jack them up.
Jack them up for you, dude. Yeah. They're selling less.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Well, and I think there is an element to this, too. So, me and the lady, we were out and about this weekend, and we were hitting up a hotel bar, and you know what? I think hurts a lot of young people. Dude, $17, $18 cocktails.
Yeah. It costs a lot of money.
Costs a lot of money.
No question.
It's expensive to drink casually at a nice place.
Yes.
Oh, show.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you got to find a quality dive bar.
A little watering hole, yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of places that you go to now where, like, and they're not even, and this wasn't like super high end. It's just like, if you go to a decent establishment, I fully expect to look down and see $16 to $20 cocktails. And sometimes if you're at like a nice place, you look down and you see $30, I'll be like, hell no. Like, that ain't happening. And yet, that's just kind of the way prices are. And I think that for young people, if you're being budget conscious, anyone's being budget conscious, I think that hurts that it's gotten so expensive.
Three ways you can drink less in 2025. Next on The Fan. So we were talking about people wanting to drink less in 2025, which, you know, whatever your journey,
yeah, good luck.
Is
bunch of quitters.
Let's get it. But you'd be healthier. You know, you drink less. Three ways you can do that, according to this article I was reading. One is a lot of people are picking certain days of the week to drink.
Oh, well, and isn't that the weekend? I mean.
Well, I mean, it depends on how your work schedule. You know, some sure. people maybe work weekends or something. But
well, I'm definitely more of a weekend drinker myself.
Yeah, I think a lot of people that's the default is hey, I only drink, but like really sticking to that only drinking on weekends. You can cut your drinking down.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is picking a certain drink and only drinking that.
Yeah, that's one.
Something you like, you know, doesn't hit you in a way hard. That something else might.
Yeah.
Because mixing and matching alcohols, that's where you get in trouble.
See, that never gets me. I've never experienced that sort of issue.
And then planning something in the morning when you know you're going to go out, or like just having a morning routine that makes it so that you can't get housed.
Kids?
Well, kids, yeah. I know. I mean, come on, that's the number one thing, isn't it?
You don't want to feel like crap when you have to wake up in the middle of the night or before the crack of dawn.
Every parent says that of little kids, right? Like, I don't think there's one that doesn't. It's like, look, I want to drink.
And there's still some drinking that gets done, but not nearly as frequently as you probably
know
would.
You got to shut it down. You know you do.
I have a weekend jiu-jitsu class that I wake up and force myself to go to on Sundays. And most of the time it's a punishment. I'm not going to say very often that precludes me from from having a good Saturday night, but I will say that I roll into there from time to time, and it's on the struggle bus, but you know that is one thing I go, and yeah, you got to sweat it out. Probably should just do the other and just
go. I'm not going.
I guess that's the deal I make myself. There are many times it'll be like 1 in the morning on Saturday, I'm like, well, I got to get up, and it's like, that's the deal I make, is I'm doing this to myself, but get my sorry ass up in the morning at 8:45 and start driving.
Doesn't work that way in my brain. Like, what? I have a what? Bite me. Going back to sleep. Hey, I see Schultzy. What a treat. Love you, brother.
He says, what up? Good to see you.
He's in there grinding his face off. You know he is.
What's, we got
Hot Corner?
All right. By the way, Joe had the audacity to want to give me the golf balls that I gave him back.
It's too good.
Wait,
for
did that
have those? Huh?
Did that make sense?
It's too good for your shag balls.
Yeah, he didn't like my shag balls. I'm like, what do you think?
That pissed you right off, didn't it?
It kind of did.
Throw a little shade at you. Old Nike balls, 10 years old, you ass.
Oh, now you're too good for a giant bucket of balls that I just gifted you?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like much of a gift if you don't want them either.
Take him to the range and practice with him. That's what I did. Lord knows you could use the practice.
It's getting heated in here. I like it. Heat it up.
Look at LA. It's up 4-0. That's about to be 4-1, Buckley.
That's right.
You're welcome.
Keep the train rolling.
We are not back tomorrow 3-7 as the Ducks will be on. We are back Thursday 3-7 on The Fan. Good night.